We're having a healing service today. Some of you may have seen, I put it out on social media, but we're having a healing service today. And so don't be surprised if you haven't already been healed. But while I talk, if you feel warmth, if you just all of a sudden move and notice that that pain isn't there anymore, God heals in all different ways. You know, one time Jesus spit in the dirt and put the mud on somebody's eyes. If I was there, I would say, Jesus, I love you, but let's not do mud in the eyes. You know, sometimes he would just speak, and from miles and miles away, someone would be healed. So he can do it. He's God. However he wants to do, if he wants to do it through an antibiotic, I'm happy with that. If he wants to do it through a supernatural touch, if I get a chill, if I get a fever, if I get a heat wave, if I get a little buzz or something, that's fine. Like, however God wants to do it, I'm happy to have him have his way. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a healing service today. And in just a few minutes, we're going to pray with you. And we are going to believe with you for God to supernaturally touch every one of us. Last week, we heard about a pattern of a miracle. A pattern of a miracle. A blind man. How a blind man who couldn't physically see, he heard about the stories of what Jesus had done. And then he believed in his heart, and he cried out. He said, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. And so he spoke with his mouth. And then he stood, he was sitting because he was begging, because he was blind. He couldn't just stumble around. But he stood, and he threw off his old life. He threw off that beggar's garment that gave him, it was a symbol in the time that gave him the right to beg. When you saw somebody in a beggar's garment, you knew they needed money. And so if you had extra, it was a culturally appropriate thing to do. It was a culturally obligatory thing to do, to give to the poor, to give to the blind and the deaf and those that were wearing that garment. So he stood and threw off the old way, everything that he had been used to doing, the way he was used to making his living, the way that he was used to providing for himself to eat, the way that he was used to living his everyday life of sitting on the side of the road and begging for people to give him money. He stood up and threw that thing off, and then he responded to the words of Jesus. And he asked Jesus to heal him. And so we learned about this pattern of a miracle. And so this morning, we're going to hear some stories of healing. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is sometimes our testimony, right? Where we've experienced him, where he's spoken to us, and we have experienced him. So we're going to hear some stories about some healings. And then it's up to you to decide in your heart, will I believe? Will I believe? Am I willing to say, Jesus, have mercy on me? Am I willing to throw off my old life, my old way of doing things? You know, if you get used to walking with a limp and all of a sudden that leg is healed, you don't need to walk with a limp anymore. You know, I went to a medical healing conference out in California several years ago, and there was a surgeon, an orthopedic surgeon, who had operated on this lady and had done the work, but she still had a limp. One leg was still shorter than the other. And God healed her. He healed her. She came back to his office a few weeks later, and the healing was gone. And he said, what happened? She said, well, I didn't like it. My sister wouldn't do stuff for me anymore. I couldn't ask her to do stuff for me anymore. I had to get up and go get my own water. I had to get up and she, because I was healed. I mean, we get used to the attention we get used to the sympathy, we get used to, you know, taking off work 3 times a week to go do the physical therapy. You know, we can get comfortable in our uncomfort. We can get comfortable in our disease. We can get comfortable in our brokenness. And so we've got to be willing to throw that off. And I mean, blind Bartimaeus was no longer blind Bartimaeus, and he had to go get a job. He had to go work. He had to go work in the field. He had to, you know, tend the sheep. I don't know what he did, but he had to go do something now because he no longer had that beggar's garment. He couldn't sit on the side of the road and ask for money. He had to change his whole life. Are you willing And are you ready to change your whole life? To do things in a different way? See, Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we hear that scripture a lot. We could probably all say it together. But here's the next verse. For by faith, the elders received a good report. The elders received a good report. By faith, they received a good report. See, sometimes when we're sitting begging on the side of the road, wrapped up in our beggar's garment, by faith, we've got to receive a good report. We may not see that report yet. We may not experience that report yet. We may not understand or experientially know that report. But can we, by faith, receive a good report? See, I'm here today to give you a good report. You are healed. The work is complete. The Bible says, by his stripes, we were healed. It is a complete work. He can't do anything more to heal you than what he has already done to heal you, which is to take the stripes on his back, which is to pour out his blood, which is to take 3 nails and a crown of thorns and a pierced side. He can't do anything more for you to heal you than what he has already done. And so here's your good report. By faith, can you receive it? You are healed. You are healed. And so I texted Pastor Allen this week, or I talked to him on the phone. I don't know. We texted, we talked, we did things this week. And he sent me a list of some of the recent healings that we've seen in this, well, maybe not in here, but through people in here. And so Dan, I think, sent him a list. So it was from Dan to Pastor Allen to me. So Keith's shoulders was healed in a men's meeting. I don't know if he's here today, but his shoulder was healed in a men's meeting. When Dan preached, Russell, Sherry, and Angie's friend all were healed of knee issues that day. Amen. Knee issues. Vic's wrist was healed. Rodney prayed for somebody's knee at the gym, and they got healed. And then at Walmart, Dan, Vic, and Ariana were out scouting, and they found somebody with an ankle, and they prayed for them, and they got healed. Taylor prayed for a coworker, and their shoulder got healed. Now, you may be thinking, those are little things. I've got a big thing that I need healing from. Pain is a big thing. You know, I've dealt off and on with hip pain. I've dealt off and on with sciatic pain. I've dealt off and on with knee pain. It disrupts your sleep. And when your sleep really gets disrupted, your personality, to a certain extent, changes. You become a different spouse. You can become a different parent. You become a different coworker because, you know, your patience and your tolerance and your mercy for other drivers and for customers and for, you know, every village has one. You know what I mean? The village fool. I'll be nice. I'll say fool. Like, you don't have the same tolerance. You don't have the same patience. When you have that thriving, driving, wakes you up at night, toss and turn pain, it can really disrupt your life. You can't go upstairs like you used to if you knees or ankles. You know, you can't necessarily pick up your child because your shoulder is hurting or your neck or your back. And then there's the fear that comes along with it. Is this the rest of my life? Is this going to get worse? Am I going to need to have surgery? Am I going to have to go to physical therapy 3 times a week? How much is that going to cost? How much is that going to cost me in just lost work? Because if I don't go to work, I don't get paid. Like, there's fear attached to it. There's uncertainty attached to it. There's dark future. There's hopelessness attached to it. And so don't think that praying for somebody's knee and they're like, hey, that's better, that's like some little thing. Pain is a big thing. It's a big thing. It's awful. But just in case you think God only does little things, you know, some of you have heard this story before. I'm going to say it again. When I came here, can't believe I'm going to say this, next year will be my 30th anniversary at this church. 30 years! I know I don't look like I'm over 30, but... And when I first came, I had boils off and on all over my body. At one point, I had 26 boils. Now, if you don't know what a boil is, it is the, to put it simply, the pimple from hell. Okay, it swells, it causes a systemic fever, they ooze, and then they eventually open. They scar your skin, like I have scars everywhere. I mean, at one point I had 26 across my abdomen. I couldn't wear pants. I was wearing like muumuus or little, you know, flowy dresses because I couldn't stand to have anything on it. I would get them on my face. My entire eyes swelled shut. I got one on my knee one time. It sent me to the ER, and then I couldn't walk. I was on crutches. Like these things, and then if you don't treat them, they can actually, the infection can get down to the bone. You can go septic. You can die. I never went septic. I never had anything in the bone, but that's the possibility of it. And so I'm a 20-something-year-old kid. No offense to the 20-somethings. I can say that now as a slightly older than that person. And I'm thinking, this is so ugly. What man will ever want to look at this? You know, I would wear a shirt and someone would touch my arm and I would wince in horrific pain because they didn't know it, but I had a boil. And I would go on super strong. I mean, I was on vancomycin. I tried erythromycin. I tried every kind of penicillin that had been out there. One doctor had talked about putting me in the hospital and inducing a super high fever, so high that I would lose my hair in an effort to try to burn it out. I mean, it was because it was absolutely antibiotic resistant. While I was taking antibiotics for one, another would come up. And one night, we're in prayer. We had radical prayer meetings back then. I've heard we're not supposed to use the word radical, but I think like all things in the 80s and the 90s, it's coming back. Like I'm wearing shoulder pads, okay? So radical, 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 radical. And so we were having radical prayer meeting and Pastor Easy was off to the side and it looked like he was thinking about something else. It did not seem like he was with us because, once again, I was running a fever. I was in a tremendous amount of pain. And everybody is over there with their engines roaring, you know, shun-da-da-da-da-da, roaring, praying over me. And he's sitting over to the side, actually rocking back in his chair. You know how you put the two front legs? Like rocking back in his chair and just thinking. And he says, Cammie, was there a guy in your chemistry class? And, of course, everybody else hushed him. No, Easy, shh, no, not chemistry. And I mean, when Pastor Easy gets something, he's like a dog with a bone. He knows. He's lived a life with Jesus. He knows. He's not going to get pulled off of it. He knows. And he said, no, there was a guy in your chemistry class. He was dark-skinned and kind of a hook nose and big teeth, and his name was Come, and I just started to cry because my TA in chemistry class was named Kamlesh, and he was from another nation. He had dark skin, kind of a big nose, big teeth, and he and I had become friends. He had spent summers with my family. He had spent Thanksgiving and Christmas because his family still lived overseas. And his last year of his PhD and my last year of undergraduate, he actually professed that he was in love with me and he wanted to marry me. And I said no, because I wasn't. The whole time he told me I was like his little sister. So that's what I thought I was. I mean, I was even annoying at times, like a little sister. And Pastor Easy said, he put a curse on you. He put a curse on you. And we prayed and we broke that curse. And I have never in 29 years since or 28 years since had another boil. I've had some pimples, but not a boil. And that changed my life. I mean, it changed my life. As the story goes, and I'm going to give a synopsis. I'm not going to get the dates right. I may not even get the sequence of events right. But you will get what I'm saying. And if you don't believe me, you can get Pastor Easy's book, Never Give Up. Several years ago, he was diagnosed with a deadly, rare stomach cancer. Signet cell sarcoma ring something. It had all those words in it in some order or fashion. And we began to pray. And we prayed and we prayed, and he started chemo because they wanted him to take chemotherapy first to reduce the vascularity of it so that whenever they would go in and take it out, it wouldn't spread. And so he started chemo, but we were praying and we were believing. We were going to do everything. We were going to do everything natural. We were going to do everything supernatural. You know, medicine, I'm a registered nurse. I'm in school to get my doctorate of nursing. I'm married to a physician. We do not think medicine is a secondhand thing. God can heal. I mean, who do you think came up with penicillin that has revolutionized the world, okay? That was God's creation. But we were doing everything we could, and we were in a service kind of like today where worship was just wild. It was wild. And a couple of, two sisters actually, started praying for him, and they said they actually felt the cancer leave him. Pastor Easy told Lena privately, I felt it come up out of my head, and it came up out of me. Well, they went in to do the surgery. It's actually in the report where the tumor formerly was. It was not there. It was not there. So we can classify it as little things like knee pain or little things like allergies or little things like psoriasis or little things like whatever, or we can categorize it as big things as diabetes or cancer or hypertension or cardiovascular disease or stroke or dementia or Alzheimer's. We can categorize it however we want, but all God sees is that there is an intruder on his territory. All he sees is that it's not allowed, that there is something of the enemy crossing a line where he has poured out his blood and it's not allowed. And so it's up to us then to believe him. To believe him. I'm going to ask Nayeli to come. She's going to just give another story. You guys are good with stories, right? Come on. Come on up here. You're going to be on camera.
Hello. So I talked about this kind of a while back, but the healing that happened through me partnering with Jesus and praying over a lady that came in limping for work. She was actually, one part that I didn't mention is she was actually, the trip that she was taking was a trip to go to Mexico because her friend was a healer. And I just really felt the Lord say, pray for her and declare healing over her because that knee pain isn't supposed to be there. And I prayed for her twice, actually, and she left. Like, she was, she started jumping up and down, and she left. And then a couple weeks later, we got the video actually on camera, so if anybody wants to see it, you can come in. But then after that, it was this past Wednesday, actually, another leg healing happened. It was actually in my manager's leg. After Bible study, she was like, hey, can you pray for me? Like, I have knee pain. So me and her son laid hands on her, and she started, like, just dancing. She started dancing around, and the pain tried to come back in the morning. And she's like, because I asked her about it the next day, like, how's the pain? She goes, well, it came back in the morning, but I declared healing over it, and I stood on God's word over it. And, last little bit I just want to say is I just never imagined 2 years ago that the Lord would that the Lord would use me to just partner with him and cast out things that aren't supposed to be there. So glory to God, amen. Thank
you. And so we know in the word, it says that it's always God's will to heal. It says that healing is the children's bread. And so when God gives you a promise, it's like, analogy to when God gave the children of Israel in the Old Testament the promised land. He promised over and over and over, I've got a land for you. It's a land of milk and honey. It's a good land. It's a spacious land. It's a big land. It's a land of good things. But guess what was in the land? Giants. Big fortified cities. Big people with big weapons and spears and swords and shields and big warriors. Big things. So when God gives you a promise, whether it's healing, say emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally, when God gives you a promise, it's very likely there are some giants living in that land. But here's the thing. God told them just to believe. He said, I will drive them out before you. I will drive them out before you. And so it's like the song that we sang this morning. This is how I fight my battles. I praise him. I raise a hallelujah. See, all we have to do is believe and keep our eyes on the truth of Jesus. It's not that we deny what's going on. It's not that we deny. We don't live in fantasy land. We don't live in la-la land. We don't act like what's going on isn't going on. The pain you feel is real. The doctor's report is real. You know, the bank account and the redness thereof is real, right? The broken relationship is real. But there is a higher truth. There is a higher promised land that God is calling us to. And we have to just partner with him, believe in him, trust him, keep our eyes on him, and allow him to drive those giants out in front of us. It's his battle to fight. It's our victory to enjoy. And so in Numbers 13, we're going to go in the New King James because the Passion doesn't do Old Testament. Verse 1, now this is Moses. So the children of Israel have been living in Egypt for 400 years. They were slaves. They make bricks without straw, make more bricks, kill all your firstborn sons. And God raises up a deliverer, Moses, and through the 10 plagues, I'm doing a synopsis here, 10 plagues, they finally let him go. They get out. They go out the Sinai Peninsula of Egypt, and there's the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are behind them. God splits the sea, gets them across. He's leading them across the desert, cloud by day to give them shade, a fire by night to give them warmth, leads them right up to the Jordan River and tells Moses, get a leader from every tribe and send him into the land to spy out the land and let them see what I've been promising is true. Now, before Numbers 13, God had promised at least 6 times, specifically, a land of milk and honey. That doesn't even count the times that he said a spacious land, a good land. This is the land of Canaan. This is what I'm going to give you. Doesn't even include that. 6 times it mentions a land flowing with milk and honey. And so in verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. And then it goes into all the names, which we're going to go on down to verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. So these 12 guys go into the land for 40 days, and they're spying it out. Are the cities fortified? Are the people ready for war? How is the produce? You know, how are the grapes? How is the wheat? How are the sheep? How is the grassland for cattle? They're spying everything out. And they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. One of the clusters, one cluster of grapes was so big, they had to put it on a pole, and 2 guys had to carry it over their shoulders. The grapes were so big. Don't you know France wishes their grapes were that big? One cluster. And then they also brought back pomegranates and figs, and so it was evidently harvest season in the land. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. So this is what some of the spies are reporting to all the people. We're talking about a couple million people. So it starts in the front. And if you guys ever played telephone or telegram, whatever, that little game, you know, where you start with one thing and by the end that you go down the chain, it's, can you imagine? And because, I mean, how are 2 million people going to hear a couple of guys talk? And so it goes along. So you can imagine how this is going along. But then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up and take possession, for they are stronger than we are, and we are not able to go up against the people. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land though which we had gone as spies is a land that it devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. In our own sight. And so we were in theirs. How do you see you? How do you see you? Are you your disappointments? Are you your failures of the past? Are you your brokenness in the past? Are you the lack, you know, the red at the end of the month, every month? How do you see you? Because God has said, you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath, that you are blessed and not cursed. See, God has said that he has a plan for your life, and it's better than you could have seen or thought of or ever imagined. God has said that he has called you to be in victory. He has called you to be a leader. He has called you to be one that overcomes. How do you see you? Whose report will you believe? Will you believe that generation after generation of my family, we have breast cancer? Generation after generation of my family, we have divorce. We have alcoholism. We have drug addiction. Generation after generation of my family, everybody's been broke. Whose report will you believe? Your family history or the blood of Jesus? Whose report will you believe? The doctor's report that you've received that says it's hopeless, it's not possible, might have to do a big surgery? Whose report will you believe? And so this morning, again, we don't deny facts. I'm not asking you to deny the reality that's in front of you. That's what we say. Well, this nation, it's going down. It's hopeless. I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just speaking the facts. I'm just speaking the reality. God has not asked us to speak the reality. He has asked us to speak his word. He has asked us to rehearse the promises. He has asked us to believe what he has said and to say what he has said. That's what he's asked us to do. And so whose report will you believe? This morning, I'm asking you, let's close our eyes. Lord, whose report will we believe? Whose report will I believe, Lord? God, I say, I choose your report, Jesus. I choose you, Jesus. Lord, we declare today that we believe the report of the Lord. We believe the report of healing. We believe the report of restoration. Lord, we believe the report of wholeness, of relationships restored, of lives restored, of bank accounts restored, of lawsuits dropped and canceled in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, that we can cry out for mercy even if we messed up, even if it was our mistake, even if we made the wrong choice, even if we knew better and we still did wrong. Lord, we can cry out, oh, son of David, have mercy on me, and we can still hear you call us and respond to you. And so we say, we believe your report. You have called us not guilty. You have called us righteous. You have called us innocent. By your blood, you have washed every sin. You have washed every iniquity. You have washed every bad thing we've said, every bad thing we've done, every mistake that we have made, every sin we have committed. You have washed us clean, and we can walk boldly to you and praise you and glory and receive all that you have for us. And so we believe your report. We believe your report. Whew. We believe your report. So I'm going to ask the preaching team, the ministry team, and guest minister, David, to come. We have seen some of the fruits of our promised land. God has promised this church that this is to be a healing center in Fort Bend County. He has promised us over and over and over a healing revival, and we have brought home some of the fruits. I am here to give you a report. We can take the land. We can take the land. Let's get up and go take the land. Fort Bend County belongs to Jesus. Fort Bend County belongs to Jesus. Generation X, millennials, Generation Z, Generation Alpha belongs to Jesus. They belong to Jesus. And so we declare that every enemy of this generation must go in the name of Jesus. We break New Age. We break the occult in the name of Jesus. We break drug addiction. We break hopelessness. We break gender ideology in the name of Jesus. You will not be confused about who or what you are in the name of Jesus. Who we believe the report of the Lord, and he has set a billion soul harvest across this world. And so, Father, we thank you and we praise you for your promises. We say yes and amen to every word you have given. Woo! And we enter into our promised land with praise, with hallelujahs, with yes, yes, yes in our heart, Lord. Woo! I just call a restoration to broken relationships. Broken relationships are restored in the name of Jesus. I don't care what ugly text you get. I don't care what ugly thing they say. I don't care if they ignore you. You continue to give the report of the Lord that says restoration of broken relationships. Oh, the Lord likes to work in families. And so I call home every lost loved one in the name of Jesus. Every lost loved one, every son and daughter, brother and sister, mother or father, aunt or uncle, grandma, grandpa, I don't care who it is. Lord, we ask you to release the hounds of heaven, to release the angels of heaven. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for dreams and visions in their lives. Oh, Jesus, Lord, I thank you for, you said your goodness leads us to repentance. And so, Father, we release your goodness to our lost loved ones. We release your goodness. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Holy Spirit is here. He is here. There's an anointing here. I'm not revving this up. This isn't emotionalism. This is Jesus. This is God wanting to take care of business. There's more for that restoration piece. There's a restoration of time where the locust has come to steal, where the cankerworm has come to steal. I just call a restoration of time, not trying to rewind it, not trying to make it up, but a supernatural restoration of time. Oh, so many of you feel behind. You feel like you're behind. You feel like you're behind in your savings. You're behind in your career. You're behind in your life. Somehow you're behind. I break that driving force. God doesn't drive us. He leads us. And so I break that thing that would drive you into making a wrong choice, that would drive you into an old pattern, that would drive you into a wrong relationship. I break that in the name of Jesus. And I speak a restoration of time. It says in the Bible that the former rain will overtake the, what does it say? The former rain? The latter rain will overtake the former rain. I don't even understand how that happens. But Lord, I thank you that this is the season. This is the season This is your season, not tomorrow, now. Not next week, not maybe next year, but now. Now is the time. Now is the time. And so, Lord, we declare your report. We say yes to your timing, God. We say yes to your plan. We say yes to your steps, Lord. We say yes to your way. We say yes to your prophetic words, Lord. Woo! And so I just speak to time in people's lives, and I speak restoration. Restoration. Whew. Shikurushi babaha. I speak to the birthing in the name of Jesus. I speak to the birthing in the name of Jesus. The birthing of natural children. The birthing of spiritual children. The birthing of revival. I speak to it. And I say, come forth in the name of Jesus. Come forth in the name of Jesus. Woo. There are spiritual babies to be had. There are natural babies to be had. Ooh, and there is the revival baby. Ooh, and so we say yes, 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 Lord. Yes and amen. We agree. We say yes. We say yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, we say yes to your bread. Oh, we take and we partake of you, the bread of life. We take and partake of you, the bread of life, Jesus. Again, I'm going to invite the preaching team. David, come on forward. Ooh, we warned all these folks beforehand that there would be ministry time. So they're prayed up. They're ready to go. We're ready for breakthrough. We're ready for restoration. We're ready to say yes to God's report. And so I just invite you guys, whatever it is, it can be healing. When we say healing, we mean physical healing. We also mean emotional, mental, spiritual, relationship, money, all of it, every area of your life. There is no area that God is not concerned about in your life. And so, Father, we just thank you, God, for breakthrough this morning. Lord, we thank you for a turnaround this morning where it was going in one direction, Lord, in one word you can turn it around. And so, Father, we thank you for now, for the turnaround to start now in the name of Jesus. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, now in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus. So y'all start coming forward. Get with one of these guys. Let them pray with you. Let them declare over you. I'd just like to ask everybody to stand. I want us to agree with God what he has said over Fort Bend County. That's all of our neighborhoods. That's Weston Lakes. That's Brazos Park. That's, you can name your neighborhood. I don't know all the neighborhoods. First Colony, whatever. But including the businesses in Fort Bend County. And we're just starting there. We're not limiting it to Fort Bend County. We're not secluding it. But over and over and over, it had been prophesied that we were like a spoke in a wheel. And that from here, revival would go out across Houston, across Texas, across the United States, across the world. Many of us, it has been prophesied that we will walk on foreign shores, that we will walk in foreign lands and take the gospel. So we're not limiting it here. We're starting it here. And God has promised it over and over and over and over again. And so, Father, we just declare your report to be true. Fort Bend County is a Christian county. Fort Bend County worships Jesus. Lord, I thank you from the mayors of the cities to the judges over the courts to every government level, Father, that they serve Jesus. And so, Lord, I thank you for a revolution, a counter-revolution within Fort Bend County, Lord, that you would get your people into government places, that, Lord, you would influence those, Lord, that you would direct them. Lord, you said that man may make his plans, but God directs his steps. And so, Lord, I thank you, you direct the steps of Fort Bend County. Lord, you direct the steps of our neighborhoods. Lord, I thank you for our neighbors around us. Whether we know them or not, we get to know them. Lord, I thank you that you go before us. We don't have to be afraid. You go before us. You open a door for us to walk through. You part a Red Sea for us to walk through on dry land. And so, Lord, I thank you that you give us the boldness. You give us the compassion. You give us the love for those around us, that we cannot stay silent while they die and go to hell. But, Lord, that we begin to pray. We begin to intercede. We begin to believe you for a harvest of souls in Fort Bend County, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that healing revival. We say yes to your healing revival, Lord. I thank you, God, for the wheelchairs and the crutches hanging on the wall. We've got lots of wall space, God. We're ready to go. And so, Father, I thank you that wherever we go, we see the sick and we pray for them. We step out and we pray for them. We say yes to your report, Lord. Oh, we say yes to you, Jesus. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but now. Now faith is. I've heard Pastor Easy say it 1,000 times over the last 29 years. Now faith is. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Now, now, now. And so, Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that we walk out of here changed. We're not the same. We're not the same. We walked in broken, sick, poor, defeated. God, we walk out healed, whole, rich, and restored in the name of Jesus. And so we give you all praise and glory today. We worship you. We give you our yes. We depend on you. We trust you. We step out with you. We love you. We give you all glory, all honor, all praise to you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Now we're going to play a song. It's a Pentecostal song. It's an old song. It's called "Whose Report Will You Believe?" Written by Becky Fender, pastor's wife in San Antonio. She had a big cancer behind her eye, and the Lord had said he was going to heal her. Her doctor was Dr. Looney. Her doctor's name was Dr. Looney, and he did not like her loving Jesus. And one day she was feeling sorry for herself. She was sitting in her little chair. She was crying. And God told her, get up and go to the bathroom. Look at yourself. She didn't like to look at herself. That big old eye, that tumor was just pushing that eye out. And she got in there and God said, whose report are you going to believe? And she started off, I will believe the report of the Lord. And he said, no. The Lord said to her, whose report will you believe? And she just kept saying it. I will believe the report of the Lord. And that's where this song came from. And so if you need to go, you are free to go. But if you can stay and have a little celebration service, because our lives changed today. Our lives changed today. We were walking in sickness. We're now walking in wholeness. We were walking in poverty. We're now walking in richness. We were walking in lack. We now have more than enough. We were walking single, now we're not. Our arms were empty, but they won't be for much longer. Our lives changed today. And so if you can, stay around, let's dance around, have some fun with an old song.